This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes, to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse-quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists, getting you ready for your second life.
We're going to be discussing serial killers. So if you have small ears present and you don't want them to hear that discussion, now might be a good time to depart until the news at 10. So Netflix has this new documentary out which profiles the BTK killer. Very interesting documentary looking at a serial killer who was active, then inactive for such a long period that they assumed that he had either died or been arrested. They had never identified him, and then came back onto the scene. Watching it made me think, what has happened to serial killers? Because we used to have, there was Son of Sam, there was BTK, there was Jeffrey Dahmer, there was a multiplicity of them, and in recent years there seems to be fewer. And it also raised the question, what has happened to the people who have that pathology if they're no longer expressing it in that way? Hence we have Dr. Patrick Randall, who is clinical and forensic psychologist and director of Forensic Psychological Services, with us. Patrick, what about that question? The pathology of people, I assume it isn't that humanity is no longer creating people with the proclivity of serial killing. They still exist somewhere, do they?
They do, Anton. The trick is that detection has improved in the form of both forensic evidence that the guards can use, and also in terms of electronic evidence, such as mobile phones, such as CCTV cameras, doorbell ring cameras. All of these things make it very difficult for someone to hide.
So you might still want to do it, but you are unable to actually deliver the way you once were. So what do they now do? Where does that that malice channel itself?
It's tricky. It could be online. It's highly speculative on my part, because I suppose as a psychologist working in this area, we don't see many serial killers. You know, there aren't, as you rightly say, there aren't many of them. So our database is a very small one. So we have to look to sort of psychological theories and things like that to try and explain this behavior. And I suppose consequently, in terms of where they go, we can speculate. And we would say, well, a lot of people are living their lives online through social media, through various other outlets, which opens up a doorway for them to explore their particular proclivities without actually doing anything to anyone per se.
So that they can live the experience virtually rather than in reality.
Yeah. The other thing to consider is, what's the function of that behavior? So why did they go about that in the first place? Was it a sexual deviance? Was it power and control? What were the key components for that individual in order for them to commit that crime? How did they transcend their beliefs, their social mores? What, you know, all of these questions that are there for us. And
is there consistency in the characteristics? Is there a stereotype or an archetype of a profile that you could say, yeah, that's the type of individual that becomes a serial?
They are somewhat. There are lots of theoretical ones. I suppose if we stick with the facts, in order to be a serial killer, you have to have multiple victims over a period of time, with a cooling off period in between. So that means they have to avoid detection. If they're avoiding detection, they probably are quite clever people. They probably aren't committing the crime out of passion, out of anger, out of that kind of thing, out of an emotional state. They're most likely committing the crime in a very calculated way. So they're most likely choosing their victims, stalking their victims, gathering information to avoid detection. And it's become more difficult, as we've seen in terms of some of the criminals that have been apprehended to date, where mobile phones have been used, video footage has been used, forensic evidence.
And when you deal with people, whether it be in serial killing or the extremes of violence or abuse, are they universally incapable of recognizing right from wrong, or do they self-justify the wrong actions while knowing it's wrong?
Self-justify the wrong actions, generally speaking. It's not a case of they don't know right from wrong. They do. They know well that they're engaging in a crime, and they go to a lot of effort to try and conceal that. So they're aware that this is something that isn't within the social mores of society. It's not something that we condone.
And when you're trying then to treat that, is it something where the pathology can be cured or reversed, or is it a permanent reality and incarceration is the only solution?
That varies from case to case. We don't know, there's no typology, so it's really tricky. We've got to look at the function of that behavior for the individual. So if it's one of, say, power and control, how might that be expressed in a socially appropriate way? You know, do they need to lead a sports team? Do they need to, you know, I'm looking at examples of how one can live that out in a socially appropriate way rather than an inappropriate way.
And is it always, because I think people find it difficult to delineate between mental illness and egregious behavior. If you take somebody like the BTK or like a Ted Bundy or like a Gacy or any of those, is that madness or is it, are they mentally well but evil?
Okay. It's closer to the mentally well but evil spectrum. If we look at what defines madness, madness is a mental state or a syndrome of symptoms that prevent one from living a wholesome life. That it affects your social, your emotional, and your occupational functioning. That's a mental illness. With these people, a lot of them are functioning quite highly. They might be well educated. They have appropriate relationships, and yet there's this inappropriate deviance that's hidden from society, but that's lived out through this malevolent behavior, in a very cold, calculated way.
But I think people will struggle with it. I mean, if you take somebody like a Harold Shipman, you look at somebody who, to all intents and purposes, absolutely normal, functioning local community GP, while systematically killing dozens upon dozens of people. It's absolutely very hard to look at that and say that mind isn't broken in some way.
Certainly it's broken, but it's broken in an evil way rather than in a sick way. His systematic murdering of all those people over such a period of time, years and years he was at that. It's not like somebody who's mentally ill, who's psychotic, who has a breakdown. It can happen. You can have a breakdown and commit a murder, but those people are much easier to detect because they're unwell. They come to the attention of the health professionals. They come to the attention of the guardie very quickly. They don't cover their tracks.
Let me ask you one thing then. You talked about the possible advantage of maybe the internet, meaning that people can do virtually what once they did in reality. Is there a disadvantage, is there a danger that people who might otherwise have been ostracized for those kind of behaviors and found it difficult to believe that they weren't anything except abnormal, they can now find communities online?
Yes, absolutely. That is a danger. And they can be socially reinforced for that behavior. As they were in the past, through media and through things like that. You know, the serial killer was lauded by the media, possibly, you know, or if not lauded, given a lot of airspace. And then other people then look at that and they attach to that. And so they're getting reinforced.
Well, that's interesting because that relates to the BTK thing. It was that fascination with getting media attention and engagement and amplification that ultimately led to him being caught. But you could argue that it was a big driving factor for him in doing what he was doing.
Yes. And for some people, that is a big driving factor. And similarly, then you get that reinforced through groups on the internet. Absolutely.
Doctor, it is an unusual topic, but an interesting one nonetheless. Dr. Patrick Randall, thank you very much. Patrick Randall, of course, clinical and forensic psychologist and director of the Forensic Psychological Services.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.